Would you all please stand for the reading of God's Word? Thank you very much, everyone who is able. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 23. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glory, the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things together according to the counsel of His Word, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Hallelujah. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ, whom He raised from when He raised Him from the dead, and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we just ask for the next few moments that You be with us, that You use this vessel as You will, that You would open our ears and our hearts to receive what You have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Title of the message is, In Him. Before we get into the message, we just want to talk just a little bit about Ephesus. It was a booming, major city in Asia and the Middle East and Europe. It was probably the third largest city of the day, behind only like Rome and Alexandria. It was a major seaport. It had the Aegean Sea, it had the Bosphorus Straits, it had connections to the great bodies of water. And there was much business and commerce that took place during that time in that part of the world. I've been there. When Pastor Tim Kelly took us on a mission trip, Pastor Joel was on that trip. And we got a chance to see the ruins of Ephesus. And we could see what some 2,000 years ago was big and booming is now ruins, although still an important area in the region. With booming cities and booming cultures, you get booming ideas. And that was true in Ephesus. Different faiths, different religions, false gods were of the day. Merchandise was taking advantage of people's belief in these false gods. It caused anger and angst against a man like Paul, who's coming in the name of Jesus to turn the world right side up. And that's what he's in and facing in the days that the letters are written to the Ephesians. Now, there's a lot more to that than what I just gave you. Hopefully, it stirs within you a little bit of angst to study, a little bit of motivation to study deeper into God's Word. But it's not a whole lot different than we are today. And I think before I even get into this, we struggle with some of the same things today. In fact, in this message, is the potential for division, because when people lead to one side of this, some others lead to another side. And when we don't see things the same way, we seem to allow it to cause a division. When we began this church, I wasn't even in it yet. When this church began in the mid to early 70s, somewhere in the early to mid 70s, we were called Interfaith Fellowship, which means it was a gathering of people from different faiths within the Christian faith. And that statement just rings so true to me, because we're like that today. We're of the same faith, but we see things differently. And it's okay. It's okay if we study to dig in to find out the truth as God reveals it to us by His Word. It's not okay when we follow gurus of the day or people that are experts in their lane of the day, and that becomes our religion, that becomes our false god, that becomes our person that we follow. I don't know if that's making sense to you, but it is to me, because I see it. We can see things differently, and we can be okay with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ if we do our due diligence and dig into God's Word, seek, ask, pray before you go to those places. When you do those things, divisions don't happen. When you are mature in your faith, divisions should not happen. When you're a relatively new believer, you're more susceptible to deviations and divisions and taking your bat and ball and going somewhere else because something offended you. So I'm challenging you to be mature in your faith because you've dug into His Word, you prayed in the Spirit and by the Spirit, and were led by the Spirit as you went into His Word. And God will rule us through a process of understanding what He says. So there's lots of things in this message. I'm really protecting myself. This is like me putting on a big shield before I tell you what I'm going to tell you. The title of the message is In Him. And I'm going to go back to Ephesians 1. And two, before I get into the reading of verse 3. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. That should be 3 weeks of preaching right there. Paul is an apostle of Jesus. And he's not one of the 12. And he isn't considered the one that replaced the one that went wrong of the 12. But God called him. And he is an apostle, not by his own will, but by the will of God. I want you to get this thought in your head. When God operates His will, it's different when He's working within the church, within believers, within His people, than it is when He's working with a non-believer. I just believe this. If you have a problem with that, you dig and study it. He deals with it a bit differently. Paul studied in the Jewish faith under a great teacher. And he was at this divisive point between Christ being the Savior and the Messiah, and Israel still looking for a different Messiah. But he was a child of God. He just didn't have the fullness of who God was in Christ. That's Paul. And he was immature in his walk as a Christian. He just received it. So what happens to Paul? God takes him for 3 years. And he teaches him just like the other disciples. Some say it was Jesus actually there. I know this. The Spirit of God was present in the teaching of Paul for 3 years, who is now qualified just like the apostles were qualified. It says that in the book of Galatians. Paul was trained up. He's trained up well. And he's trained up and he's matured in a 3-year period like maybe we can't really understand because we haven't put the same work in that maybe he did. But make no mistake, because he was a child of God, God's will, his sovereignty, played a very direct impact on Paul. Knocks him down. The light shines bright. Paul goes blind. God speaks to him and says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" It was at that point he discovered what he was doing and how wrong he was. And now he becomes a winner for Christ, the primary winner for Christ. So what happened? God exercised his sovereignty. And he made somebody go in a direction. But with a non-believer, sometimes it doesn't look like that. We hear words like he knocks on the heart's door. We hear words like he speaks to the heart of man. He speaks to the mind of man. He gives dreams and visions to the heart of man. And man comes to a place where he has to make a decision. He does not make that decision without God's understanding and God's knowing. Why? Because God knows everything. Right, Paul? He knows everything. If you just grasp that today, you have no problem with anything. And hey, he already knows. But he does whatever he can that somebody would come to him. Some will wrestle with the idea of choice. Is God sovereign over choice? How about this? To know what true love is, maybe God just allows choice. What will you choose? Joshua said, choose this day who you'll serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made a deliberate choice. Here's what we need to know. When God is knocking on your heart's door, how do you choose? The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Why? Because that knock might not be the same. That voice in your heart, your mind, might not be quite the same. We understand those things. I believe we're in a good place. Thank you, Jesus. So God, Jesus, by the will of God, deals with Paul. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. I just prayed a very brief, short prayer with our altar workers before the service. And the thing that came to my spirit was, I prayed for them because I know what comes at them when they step in the arena to pray for you and to pray for the new person that comes into the place. I'm praying for the blessings that come from heavenly places because I know they're going to be attacked from heavenly places. And I don't mean heaven is a good thing there. I mean heavenly places, the realm of the spirit. Realm, I said that word really good. The realm of the spirit. So when Edward comes up and he prays for me, and he prays that God would speak through me, Edward is going to experience opposition from that realm. We all do. If you're lazy and not part of what God is doing, you're not going to feel anything. You're all right. In terms of being attacked or having things come at you. But once you enter in, it is a game changer. One of the things I learned is when we had people speaking on Wednesdays or different pastors coming up and speaking really for the first time coming up there, they felt stuff come against them. Why? Because stuff will come against them. Nobody in the demonic world wants godly things to come to your ears and to your heart. Your heart is actually a trophy. Trophy for the enemy, and it's a trophy for Christ. And there is a war that takes place. You're going to get that really good when we get to Ephesians chapter 6. So the prayer team, when they begin to pray that God would intervene and heal your body, your broken body, the enemy doesn't want the body to be healed. And he doesn't certainly want somebody speaking life to another person when life is Christ. So consequently, there is a warfare that takes place in a realm that you and I can't see. Warfare can be so great sometimes that even a prophet of God can't hear from God for 21 days because the angelic forces are fighting the demonic forces for 21 days for the word to even get back to the prayer. Oh my goodness. It's the same thing here. When you commit to Christ, things will come at you. Jesus said, in this life you'll have tribulation. You'll have tough times. You'll have incredibly tough times. Pastor James read through some of them when he was in the worship. You will have things come against you that are meant to stop you, slow you down, break you, crush you. But then Jesus says, be of good cheer. I have overcome this. Now, whether it's by our choice that we enter into a place where he's taking care of us, or whether it's by his divine sovereignty and working, frankly, I don't know. I've heard good arguments on both sides. Here's my issue. The issue's over, by the way. Calvinism versus Arminianism. Okay, two schools of camp. I'm going to tell you right now, you're just like the Ephesians. If you just buy into one line of camp and you go with that, and you listen to what some man's doctrine was versus another man's doctrine, and you miss the gold that's in between them. Okay? So I'm going to throw Calvin out. I'm going to throw the Arminians out. And I'm just going to go by what the Spirit has given to my heart as I read through his word, just like he will you as you read through his word, and you can dialogue back and forth with the brothers and sisters. Now, those guys are not evil in any way. They just have their take. If you read commentaries, which most of us do, if you're going to prepare to give a lesson, or teach, or dig, you go through your hear model, you read commentaries. Those are men. And sometimes they give us great stuff. Sometimes they're 180 degrees from the other guy. They're like economists. You could line them up hand to hand. They could reach around the world but reach no conclusion on how to deal with your money. Same thing with commentators. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, reading God's Word, and influenced by the Holy Spirit, digging to study the cross-references of God's Word, God's Word by the Holy Spirit, you're susceptible to following gurus and people that have their lane. See, I could talk about 3 weeks just on these three verses. And I think you get the point. John 1:16 says, for out of his fullness, or the abundance thereof, we have all received, we have all had a share, and we are all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift upon gift. For while the law was given through Moses, grace, which is undeserved favor, and spiritual blessing, truth came through Jesus Christ. Not just through Jesus Christ to us as believers, but if I go to another scripture, in 1 John 2:2 it says, and the whole world. That could go lots of different things, lots of different places, and have lots of different meanings. In Ephesians 1:4 it says, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. What does that mean? He chose us before the foundation of the world. We read in Psalm 139 that he knit us together in our mother's womb. Before that, he knew us. How does that happen? Here's one for my brother. Because he steps out of a paradigm that we understand, which is time. And God steps out of time because he comes from out of time. He comes from infinite. He comes from eternity. Both ways. And I only say both ways because we can maybe grasp it. He's an eternal God. Eternal means forever. In both directions. So how can he be in eternity in both directions and not know what's happening in this little compartment of time? Well, the Bible says he's all-knowing. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent, always present. What's the other one? Omnipotent. Thank you, David. all-powerful. That's our God. And He knows what we don't know. You know what our big hang-up is? We want to be like Him, so we want to know what He knows. Back at the very beginning, you know how we did that? He ate an apple from a tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. No, we're not. Some things are not meant for us. It says in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things are left to the Lord. We do not get caught up in the secret things and let them become divisive things within the greater body, within the church. I have my sister over here who says, what does it matter? Jesus did what He did. He's our way of salvation. People need to be saved. Oh, wow, is that deep? Oh my goodness, that's scrapping my skull. I can't get my head around it, right? It's what Jesus Christ did for us. Do you receive it or do you reject it? Or do you have to go to get your PhD in theology to be able to get to that place? If we have to go to the place to get my PhD to be able to accept the fact that when my heart's being tugged by the Spirit of God and I have to make a decision only when I get my PhD, I'm in some pretty sad shape. I am really calling the church out right now to challenge you that it is not about which guy or which woman you're following and studying. They're a gift to you, yes, but they're not the end-all thing. And don't let that be your end-all thing. It excludes way too much. Thank you, Jesus, for that. It says, having predestined us to adoption. The word predestined. Destined, destiny means to know. If you do all the Greek study on it, to know. Pre means before. To know beforehand is what God gets to do. We don't get to do that. I don't get to know beforehand, but I'll tell you what. I lived on this earth for just about 60 years now, and I have this. Is my little grandson here? I have my little grandson. Most adorable 2-year-old, and Craig was trying to get him off the stage last week, and I was just laughing because he wasn't having success. Because 2-year-olds do what 2-year-olds do. But when he's over at our house and we're babysitting, and I see my 2 granddaughters playing with each other, I'm saying, oh, is that beautiful? Look at them. They're just having such a good time. And then I see him see them. I can go right to predestination and preordination right there. I know exactly what he's going to do. As soon as he made eye contact, I'm saying he's going to disrupt what these 2 beautiful little girls are doing. And then his mother knows even better. And she said, Zaya, and he goes and disrupts and causes chaos in the house. The house gets 50,000 decibels louder. They're screaming and crying. Ah! You know, the whole thing. I saw it coming. And I did intervene. And even with intervention, his little will was there. It was present. And he operated by his will. Just like all 2-year-olds do. Just like 22-year-olds can do. Just like 72-year-olds can do. Our will is always at enmity. Our nature is always at enmity. When we come to Christ, we now have power and we have control over that. Should we choose to use it? Because you know what? In me, there is no good thing. In my flesh, I still sin. When we talk about brokenness, we go to these places. I am corruptible. I am not incorruptible yet. In God's eyes, when He sees me at the judgment, He's going to see Christ now. I've arrived. Now, I am full and complete and perfect. Right now, we are imperfect. I don't care what the gurus are saying. We are imperfect. And we need to be repenting on a regular basis. Now, we're not going to get the whole message done today, are we? Because I'm just ripping on y'all. We are to repent and come to that place as often as we need to. You see, God has taken me through a process. When I came to Him, He now saw me as an heir, co-heir with Christ. And we'll get to that later in this scripture, if we get there. But I have to come to Him and ask for forgiveness and let Him take away my sin, that He can change me, because He's taking me through a process from Alpha to Omega, if you will, from beginning to end. And the end is when I'm standing at the judgment, and it's really just the beginning of things to come. But he has taken me through a process of growth, just like he did with Paul. First, he knocks him on his hind end, reveals himself to him. Repentance comes. And Paul grows. 3 years, he was in a process of sanctification by the Holy Spirit, by Christ, if you will, growing and learning. Remember the apostles, how much they struggled in their growing processes? Denying Jesus, betraying him, doubting him. That's flesh. That's what I live in. Here's what God does. He comes in, he begins this process by his Spirit to us, to grow us, to mature us. We still have choice in the matter. I still have choices to make. Am I going to sow to the seeds of my flesh? Am I going to sow seeds to my flesh, or am I going to sow seeds to my Spirit? And if I sow seeds to my Spirit, I stand in front of 300 people telling them about how much Jesus loves them. If I sow my flesh, I'm out on the golf course calling in sick, because that's what I like to do. If I sow to my Spirit, I am loving my family. If I sow to my flesh, I'm loving myself. And I have to make choices all the way along. And here's the bottom line. I don't know what the future holds for me other than I will be in glory with Christ. But you know who knows? He knows. Why? Because he's all knowing. So I can't put myself in his place, although I get an understanding. And I just need to throw this thing out there about time, just to give you a picture, because I start talking about these time things. This is so out of my realm. And I guess I didn't watch Big Bang Theory enough to really learn about it. But I get pictures of what that looks like. And I shared one with one of the pastors this week. But if I'm sitting in a parade, it's like the Macy's Parade. Okay, you all know about the Macy's Parade. And I got in a lawn chair. I'm in, I think it's in California. Maybe not. Oh, it's New York. I'm on the wrong side of the planet. Oh, hey, I'm talking about the world. It's in New York. And I got my seat. And I got my caramel nuts. And I got something to drink. And I got the best spot. And I watched, here it comes. There it is. There's the band. Oh, listen to them. They're amazing. And then here comes a float. Oh, so cool. Then here comes the big turkey. Oh, but I know something good is coming. Just know, because I've seen this before. And here's Santa Claus. Oh, there it is. And I see that. I see that thing. Snapshot by snapshot. But if I climb up on a 20-story building that overlooks that parade route, I can see the whole thing from the end to the beginning. Now that's me, in my finite way, trying to paint a picture of something infinite, and that's the best I could do. I had the same problem with ice. I thought, or with the Holy Spirit. How can I explain the Holy Spirit? And I go to water, steam, ice. Yeah, all three parts are the same. That's like the Spirit. That's like the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. The three, though distinct and different, are one. It's just what this is. It's a feeble attempt to try and paint a picture of how God's viewpoint is so different than ours, because he comes from an eternal place. Don't get hung up trying to figure out eternal things with a finite mind. Here's what you need to know. It's about Christ. Right? It's about what Jesus did. What are you fighting about this or about that for? Let me ask you another question. Are you digging to get to know him better? Because that's what the call is. And he blesses us in that process. And he blesses us incredibly. So the first place he blesses us is we're adopted in him. I am his. And when I am his, I am sealed with the Spirit of God, the scriptures here tell us. And if I'm sealed with the Spirit of God, nothing can take that seal from me. It's his seal. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit. I get that at salvation. Thank you, Jesus. So if you were to say, I am coming to Christ today because my heart is broken before him in such a beautiful way, I am ready. I receive all that he has. Once you do that, you are sealed eternally in him. And the Bible says nothing takes you away from that. You know what comes next? An argument. Well, can you lose your salvation? Can't you? Stay out of those arguments. Take care of your business. Grow to know Christ. Share the love of him, because it's appealing to those that don't have him. That's what we do. We share the love of Christ to people so they can receive it and have what we have. And if you don't have it, my next question is, why don't you have it? Where do you struggle in your faith? It has to be a belief issue. You're not giving God reign in your life. You're still made in control. Why? Because you're still the Lord of your life. Sometimes I can tell by looking. I can tell by decisions made. Sowing to the flesh, not sowing to the spirit. I can see it. By the way, I can see it because I've done it. Grow in Christ. That's the message for the church. Grow in Christ and do what He does. So what does God tell us to do? He says to go and tell. I gave my friend a book today. And the book was called Mulligan. I'm going to hand it out to some other people. Mulligan's a golf term. He gave it to one of the pastors. You know what I want him to do with it? It talks about golf, yes, but it talks about life. And life in Christ gets to the goal. I'm going to give it to him and say, hand this to somebody else. If it moves you, it'll move them. Why? Because we need to be out about His business. Telling of this story. What I knew eternally versus what I don't know eternity is honestly, it's inconsequential. Do you know Him? Do you listen to Him when He speaks to you? Well, how does He speak to you? He speaks to you first by His Word. And then by His Spirit. And the two line up. They don't conflict. You guys liking this message that we're way off of? Yeah, you do. Okay. The eight people that were on their faces before God are cheering it up because they're in a good place. I'm kidding. That's beautiful. You need to know that you're free and forgiven in Christ. You're free for the sins that you committed in the past. You're free for current sins and sins that you will do in the future. Why will you do certain sins in the future if you're in Christ? Because we still war with our flesh. I just want you to know that. You war with your flesh. You can be as saved as the day is long. You're going to war with your flesh. Don't get caught up in denial. You war with it. But you have victory over it. It does not control you. You have the power, by the power of the Spirit, to defeat that. You defeat your own will. If you listen and move by the Spirit. Third thing is you have eternal life in Christ. It's eternal. You all know this. We're going to take communion in about 5 minutes. Some people, maybe you'll receive Jesus for the very first time today. I hope that's the case. I'd love you to take communion with us today. That's the only prerequisite. But you need to know that when you're in Christ, it is eternal. Forever and ever and ever. And when you get done with the forevers, it's forever after that. I can't even grasp the depth of what that means. These few years that we live here are really, in my mind's eye, a trial. That's how I see it. This is a trial. Do I receive Christ? Do I move and operate as He directs? Do I grow to know Him better? And as I grow to know Him better, do I see me better? And for me, that all three of those are yes, yes, and yes. And as I see me better, I see my need for Him better. So will you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to move fast here. Look at me, just cruising away. Ephesians 1:12 says that we who first trusted Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Let me talk to you just a second about salvation. Whether God chose us and made us get saved, or whether we decided by our own will to be saved, because the Spirit touched our hearts. The bottom line is God chose us. What does that mean? That means I chose because He chose, because He touched me. Well, why? What's so special about me? Well, He loves me because I'm a part of the all. His desire is that not one would perish. Well, what about those who are predestined? Let Him worry about those who are predestined. Is that you? No, it's not you. Right now, if you're here because you made a decision for Him, it's not you, so don't worry about it. Well, why should I go out and talk to people if God's already going to choose them? Because He told you to. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are different than my thoughts. My thoughts are not his thoughts. Do what he says. Go tell. The increase belongs to him. He grants the increase. He's the one that brings them in. I'm about his business. Am I doing that? I'm trying. I need his help to do it better. But it's what he's asked us to do. He says that his desire is that people don't perish. He uses words like all. And we can argue what that means. Why argue what that means? Just go with all. All what? All everything. All social classes. All races. All professions. All political parties. All. His desire is that they be saved. And if they're not saved, that's on them. Did God know? Yeah, he knew. Why? Because he's God. Do I need to know? No. What do I need to know? Go tell. Go love. Go serve. Those are the winners. The ones that win debates are not the winners. Except for maybe Ravi Zacharias, because when he does, it's just so much fun to listen to. In him you also trusted after you, this is verse 13, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having believed you were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go back just a little bit. We're sealed because we believed. We believed because we heard. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we hear and our response is yes to him, we're saved. What does that mean? I was preordained? Yeah, he knew. What does that mean for the one that doesn't receive it? Were they preordained? Yeah, because the plan was for them too. But they chose something different. And it was on them. Our choices matter. Our choices matter. Thank you for that, Jesus. What does he guarantee us? Verse 14 says, who is the guarantee? He's going back to 15. He says, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory? What does that mean? My inheritance in him is secure because of the seal of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? I am a child of God. What's the expectation? That I walk like a child of God. I don't walk in defeat. Am I incorruptible? Am I imperfect? Yes, I am. But I don't walk in that. What do I walk in? I walk in the fact that I'm a child of God and I can sputter to 15, 20, 30, 300 people. Why? Because I'm talking from a dad. My Abba Father. I'm talking to the one who saved my soul. I'm talking with him. He's talking with me. And he's telling me that I'm operating out of him. Why? Because I have a relationship with him. So the question for you isn't what did God know or what didn't God know. The question is, do you have a relationship with him? Do you know him? Do you know him as God? Do you know him as the only way that you can avoid eternity apart from God? Hell. Do you know him like that? That's your bigger issue. Not what you know in terms of knowledge, what you know in terms of the Spirit. And the Bible says that the Spirit, my Spirit, the Spirit of God testifies with my spirit that I am a child of God. How do I know I'm a child of God? The Spirit of God reveals to me about me. Does he reveal to me about Ray? No, he doesn't. I can look at it. He could be like my 2-year-old grandson that goes like this and then does his thing. You know, I can predict some things. But no, revelation of his station with God is between him and God, just like all of them. So don't judge who's lost or who's not lost. Because you don't know. Oh, I've seen how this person lives. You don't know. You don't know the end of that person. Don't make a judgment that doesn't help what God is trying to accomplish. Which, by the way, sovereignty will kick in when you get in the way. When I get in the way. Oh, Jesus. If I could have the worship team come up. As we get into the last part of this, it really begins to speak about prayer. And I think in my spirit, I feel, I'm feeling bad that we can't go deeper into this for right now. But there's an element of prayer and spiritual wisdom that God gives us. And it's related to our relationship with him. So verse 4 is, in him you can have a deep relation with God in Christ. And verse 15 says, therefore I also heard, after I heard, of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints. For in Christ Jesus there is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. It avails nothing, but faith working through love. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Do not cease to give mention of what God does in you, in your prayer and in your worship. That's why we spent just a little time exercising corporate worship on a different kind of level. Because it matters. Are you talking to God? Are you listening to Him? In Him we have a relationship that we're able to go to those places with Him. When we are adopted, we are in the family. He sees us as sons and daughters. If you are in Him, if you are apart from Him, other consequences come. To be apart from God is just as eternal as it is to be with Him. When God says that today is the day of salvation, He's knocking on the heart's door. He's speaking to your mind and into your spirit. How are you responding to that? And He says, today is the day of salvation, because you might not respond ever again to that. The Spirit might not move in you the same way it is right now. And it's a big decision, because it has eternal consequences. Jesus. So if there's anybody that wants to receive Christ today, when people are going in line for communion, before you take communion with us, if you haven't received Jesus as Lord and Savior, I'm going to be down here at the front. You just come down and say a quick prayer. Not to embarrass anybody. In fact, if somebody sees you, the joy will fill them. Amen? So all that's required is that you know Christ as your Lord. You know Him as the one that paid for your sin and my sin. You know Him like that. And you want that. That's what salvation is. So at this time, if the ushers could come forward and direct people back for communion. If you want to receive Christ today, you come up by me and just say, I think I want what you were talking about. And we'll pray for about 30 seconds. We'll let you be on your way to communion and join the rest. We'll do that in Jesus' name.
He came to
just to share this with you. It is an honor to take communion with you. It's a big deal that we take communion together. But I stand in this place honored to be able to do this with you. I think the heart of it is, hard things were said in during the message that might go against your ideology or your thinking or your processes. And that's okay. We can handle hard things. Lord, protect me from being harsh. But I want to say up front that the pastors feel this way, the elders feel this way. To take communion with you is a joy. And I feel the body of Christ in this time. So after supper, Jesus took bread and gave thanks. And he broke it. And he says, whenever you eat this bread, do it in remembrance of me. He came together with those he was closest to do this communion. And he wanted to do it with them. And that's our heart's desire here. So, Dave, could you pray over the broken body?
Thank you, Father, for what you've done. Lord, you came into this world with a soft, tender skin, just as we did. The difference is, you went out beaten and hammered on, so that we can go to our Heavenly Father, go to you. But we'll be unbeaten the way you were. So we thank you for your body and what you did with it, so that we can be with you and spend eternity with you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Take the body together. And then after supper, he took the cup of the new covenant. And he said, this is my blood, which was shed for you. So when we were talking about redemption and redeeming, paying for the wages of sin, it was paid with his blood. That's why so when we talk about the blood, we talk about a big deal. This is a big deal. He took the cup saying, this is my new covenant. The blood which was shed for you so that man could be forgiven. Kathy, could you pray?
Oh, Lord Jesus, you do receive all glory and all power. That you would die on the cross for us, that you would shed your blood, that we wouldn't go from death to life. Lord, without you, we would be lost. We would be without eternity. You made that way for us, oh God. And Father, I just pray that you would prepare our hearts now to be worthy to receive that, what you have done for us. There's nothing that we can do. But Lord, we just give you the thanks and the praise now. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Take up the cup together.